In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. My name is Mark Ricco, and I am the pastor of the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew in Silver Spring, Maryland, in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., about 12 miles north of the White House, where everything is running smoothly. I do actually ask and invite your prayers, not only for the country, but for the members of our congregation, many of whom do work for the federal government and various departments and agencies, all of whom are at work today, but are anxious yet about their tomorrows. And so I thank you in advance for that. I am here on campus this week also to interview some of you for the possible service of a new pastor to serve as our associate at St. Andrew. And I am here in chapel this week because about a year or so ago, your president called me on the phone and volunteered to preach at St. Andrew for me during my upcoming sabbatical when he and Diane would be visiting their daughter, Katie, and her family, who are members of our congregation. And when I accepted his very gracious offer and thanked him profusely, his response to me was, "Yeah, well, that's going to cost you." So here I am, making payment to OPA, and doing so with pleasure, because it is an honor for me to be here. And I went to Fort Wayne. It was Wednesday afternoon in March during my senior year in high school when I got called to the principal's office. And as I wandered down there thinking about what I had done wrong, considering there were some possibilities, I arrived there and the ever-serious Mr. Grove looked at me and said, "Go to your homeroom, get your stuff, and go home." When I curiously and nervously asked him why, he looked at me again, matter-of-factly, and said, "Your pastor threw his back out, and you're preaching at your church tonight." Which is to say that I would be reading the sermon that he wrote for about 35 people who would be coming to our midweek Lenten service that evening. And so I went, and as I did, you know, I felt unworthy, unqualified, unprepared, compared to people I knew to be much more qualified than 17-year-old me. And yet I went. And I'm here to tell you that while there's a little bit more to the story, that call, that day, had something to do with the trajectory that sends me right here to you this morning. Thanks to the Spirit's promptings, through a pastor who singled out a kid who knew nothing from nothing and got a lot of things wrong, and said in effect, "Mark, tonight you're going to do what I do, at least in part. You're going to be my little vicar for a day, for which I give thanks, and hope that that will help all of you to think about the situations, the circumstances, the people that were used by the Spirit's promptings to lead to your call to be a pastor or a deaconess or a professor or to occupy some other vocation here at this great seminary to help it make it go." And that's my springboard for that great moment of call from Luke chapter 5 when Jesus shows up on the shores of Galilee to teach a crowd of people who had been following him. And he spots these two fishing boats there at the shore, the owners of which are mending their nets. They're cleaning them. They're folding them up and hanging them back on the side of the boat, much like a firefighter would come back after a fire, completely wiped out, exhausted, and yet having to work hours to prepare the equipment and themselves for the very next run. While the reader doesn't necessarily know this, Jesus and the crowd also knows that on top of everything else, it hasn't been a very productive night, given the fact that Jesus gets into one of those boats, which he may not have done had it been loaded with fish. And he tells Peter to put out a little way into the shallow water so that he could teach this crowd from the boat, using the boat kind of like his pulpit on the water, which Peter does. He complies, and after which, that young fisherman finds out that it's one thing to go from the shore to the shallow water. It's another thing when Jesus calls you to head for the deep and to go fishing. And before I jump ahead to Peter's response, which you have already heard, I want you to just hang for a minute on some of the reasons that Peter might have thought that what Jesus was calling him to do, where he was calling him to go, and when he was calling him to do it, were all really bad ideas. Given the fact that they were already cleaning their nets, and if you've ever seen first century fishing nets, they're big and they're heavy. They had already come in, and it would have taken them a long time to get all the way back out across the lake over the deep water. And besides that, they'd been out there all night and then caught a thing. And if they didn't catch any fish at the prime time to fish, what's the possibility that they were going to catch fish in the middle of the day with the sun beating down on the surface of the water? And on top of all of that, if you know about some of Peter's other responses in the Gospels, you can easily hear him thinking, why is this rabbi trying to tell a fisherman how to fish? But here's the thing. When you get called by the Spirit of Jesus, guess what? His timing is not always going to be your timing. His preferred location might not be your preference. The things that he wants you to do might not be the thing that's on your mind. You may be ready for the shallow water, and here he comes, calling you to head for the deep. And I can tell you this, after 32 years of pastoral ministry, that when the people of God call you, those calls will also come at unexpected hours to places that you weren't planning to go, to situations and moments and experiences for which you may not feel ready, but it is going to happen. For me, it happened on a Wednesday afternoon in the fall of 2017 when I was getting ready to teach a class at church that night. And the call I got was from the Montgomery County Police telling me that the body of a member of our congregation had been found and that she had been killed by her boyfriend. And they were asking me to meet them at the family home. Well, guess what? I didn't teach the class that night. And at the end of that evening, I found myself in a place that I couldn't have remotely imagined when I got up that morning, and that was standing with a group of people in front of a bank of TV news cameras, giving testimony to the faith of that family in their darkest hour, because that call changed everything, the very least of which was my little agenda. But where do you think Jesus wanted me to go? And to what sort of ministry will he be calling you? And so while we don't know exactly the music behind the words, what we do know that is against all the odds, against all the fatigue, in spite of all the frustration of that morning on Galilee, Jesus had something in mind for that young man, who does respond to him and say, Master, we've worked all night. We caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. I will do what you say do because you are who you are. Which is to say that it is the word of Jesus and not the assessment of Peter or you, or me, that has the power, that makes the difference, that is the final say in the end, as they go out and they head for the deep, and Jesus gives those guys what they probably thought was the greatest fishing trip of their whole entire life. So big, so overwhelming, so humbling that he falls down on his knees and he says, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm unworthy. I'm unqualified. I'm unprepared." But Jesus doesn't depart. Instead, he says, "Go to your homeroom, get your stuff, and let's go. Because you're going to be fishing for men and women and girls and boys, drowning in the ocean of sin and death, so that they might get caught up in the good news of the world's Redeemer." And in your baptism, you know, someday in your ordination, your commissioning, your call to live as a child of God, you get to be part of that. And if you feel unworthy, unprepared, unqualified, good. Join the club. I'm still in it after all these years. But here's the thing. The Christ who gave that guy this great miracle on the deep waters of Galilee, the Christ who transformed that fisherman into the preacher of Pentecost when 3,000 got hauled in, the Christ who sends him across the threshold into the Gentile world at the baptism of Cornelius, that Christ, his cross, his spirit is the power of your life, and it's the joy of your life, and it will be there with you, for you, to give you the final say as you minister and as you go to places you might never expect, in moments that you can't even put together in your wildest dreams as you sit in this chapel today. Because he is the one who transforms reluctance into risk, things that are improbable into the things that are more than possible, for the glory of God and for the hope of this broken world. So blessings to you as you listen for the call and head for the deep for a good catch for the glory and praise of Jesus. Amen.